Welcome, everyone. Today is Sunday, February 8th, 2026, Super Bowl Sunday. Can you believe it? And this is the Morgellons Think Tank Call of the Week. It is also our first BBC podcast. And I am Robin, the co-host. We have a really special program for you today. We are so lucky to have Carrie Ann Allman with us. And I just want to, so you know, Morgellons is such an insidious, confusing, mysterious disease to many people. And, you know, traditional doctors and medicine don't understand it. They diagnose it as delusional parasitosis. And it's really hard to find any help. My home, I had people come, and my house had gotten infested with, it was crazy, with bed bugs, mites, and fleas, which all are vectors. They carry Morgellons. And so I also got Morgellons, and it took me, I mean, I couldn't believe I had all of these things going on. That was crazy. So it took me months to just figure that out. And then I hired an exterminator to get rid of the fleas, and he brought the springtails into my house. And I caught one, and I said, "What is this?" He goes, "Oh, that's a springtail. They don't do anything. My house is filled with them." So I fired the exterminator, and you know, and I was ready to burn my house down. It was a rough time, very dark, and I went to church, and I asked my pastors to pray for me, and they prayed for God to bring me solutions. The next day, I found Richard and his book, and that was a turning point. And then I learned about his call that he had every week, and I started, and I joined that. I got a coach, and I made every mistake you could make in the book, because that's who I am. And through my coach and Richard and this supportive community, I got my life back. So I'm here to tell you there's hope. It works if you work it. And at this time, I'm so honored to introduce Richard Kuhns, who is a world-leading expert author on Morgellons and other skin parasites, and Carrie Ann Allman, who is the founder of Morgellons Uncensored, an amazing online group with 13,600 people. So we're so thrilled to have both of these people with us, and take it away.
Thank you, Robin, my super co-host. How are you today? Are you recovering from your cold?
It was more than a cold, and yes, I'm recovering.
A little COVID. Yeah, well, you're looking good today, and I must have picked up the psychic vibes. I got a little cold myself. Anyway, let's get off to a good start with our federal regulations. The FDA requires me to inform everybody on this call that before you take any of our recommendations, before if you choose to do my King diet, or accept any recommendations that we may discuss on this call, that you are to thoroughly discuss them with your medical doctor to make sure they do not interfere with any health problems you're presently experiencing. The AMA requires me to inform you that none of us on this call are medical doctors or trained in licensed medicine. Therefore, we do not diagnose, treat, cure, mitigate, or prevent any disease. What we are allowed to do by law is to educate you. Now, how can we educate you? Well, those of you on the call who are in my program are very familiar with this Amazing King diet. So it's different than any other diet in the world. I mean, can you imagine a diet that doesn't allow carrots, peas, and olive oil, and all fruits, you know, and or even a Tic Tac breath mint? I mean, it's crazy, but it works. So we're allowed to educate you how to make the diet work. We're allowed to educate you how to clean your skin. You know, I see a lot of Facebook posts about people, and they love these pictures of the stuff coming out of their skin and the hairs and things, and they're asking what to do, and somebody says, oh, well, just do this. But they don't mention anything about the need to disinfect the environment. I mean, Jesus, if it was even possible that they suggest what they suggested would work, if you don't disinfect your environment, what good is it? You're just going to keep getting, because, you know, you are a walking, talking, breathing parasite machine. That means everywhere you go, to work, in your automobile, to the barbershop, the grocery store, to your home, to your attic, to your basement, these organisms are shedding, S-H-E-D-D-I-N-G, from your body onto the furniture and the automobile and everything. And if you were miraculously able to get rid of it just that quick, magic, the next time you sat in that automobile, you'd be reinfected. So no matter how great the advice is, unless you know what to do, it's, yeah, that's what it's worth. All right. So we're allowed to educate you how to disinfect your environment. Now, some people think, well, if I just spray ammonia once a day, that'll, no. That's just a tiny little bit. You've got to eradicate these things. There are millions of them, and they are there to attack you. And it's a war. And unless you are really indignant about getting rid of them, they're just going to keep reinfecting you. So the other goal is to clean your skin. Now, again, you'll see things on Facebook about, well, I did this, and all this stuff came out of my skin. Well, that's wonderful. Oh, you know, you can keep doing that for the next 20 years. That stuff is going to keep coming out. Right. So that's nice to know how to get the stuff out, but it's important to know how to stop it from being there to even come out. So three goals in my book, three goals. One, make the diet work. Two, clean your skin. Three, disinfect. And then fourth is to build health and immune functioning. Now, I will make a statement. Morgellons is not a complicated, difficult issue to get rid of. Really. It is not. The antidote is to alkalize your body and boron. Put those two together, and if it is only Morgellons that you have, along with the diet, boom, that's it. But I get questionnaires from people. It's a rather sophisticated questionnaire. It has a lot of questions, obviously. And from the answers, I can tell whether you're only dealing with Morgellons or whether you have some other complications, such as calumbula. Now, that's a word I rarely see on Facebook or anywhere. But yet, do you know that 90% of people with Morgellons also have calumbula? Mites, that's another thing. Well, there are groups about mites, and you sometimes do see mites on the Facebook pages. And, of course, there's Strongyloides cericollis, and there are many other, there's worms, tapeworms, and all kinds of other complications. That fungal issues, Candida albicans overgrowth, and other fungal issues that complicate things, which we can often need to take into account. Well, today we have with us Carrie Ann Ullman, who has amazingly put together an incredible Facebook, Uncensored Morgellons, and has thousands of people, and she gets bombarded with it. In fact, wasn't it last week that you missed our show because you were dealing with someone who was suicidal, kind of? Is that true?
Yes. Well, actually, I don't know if that's the right word, but he was letting me know he was giving up. He wasn't going to fight it anymore, and he was having a really bad day. But today, the same guy is active in the group and telling jokes and all that. So he's fine today.
Well, he did a great job. You turned him around. That's fantastic. And Morgellons can be that bad.
Yeah. And I would like to add, Richard, I noticed that she was talking about exterminating and all that. I would like to add that my brother owns the biggest environmental company in the Southeast, and I have actually gotten 4 members now from him redirecting them to me. He kept saying, "Terry Ann, I don't see anything. You know, I know something's wrong because they have the same thing you do." And you're right. She was talking about exterminating didn't work, and then you were talking about we need to combat them. But yeah, an exterminator would not help. Because you'd be redirected back to the Morgellons community either way, you know?
Right. Well, what I'd like to do, because this is our first podcast, BBC, is kind of lay a foundation. And that is, what the heck is Morgellons? How do you know if you have Morgellons? So, tell us what the symptoms are. What's somebody who has Morgellons? What do they experience?
Would that a telltale sign would be the fibers, like the mere existence of the fibers. But then you've got this plethora of other pathogens, microorganisms, I mean, you know, parasites, things like that. I know they're starting to find these crystals with the fibers in the snow and air and food, medication. So I think the fibers, by definition. Uh-oh, I'm cut.
The fibers, definitely. Dr. Saverly, in her book, Morgellons, The Legitimization of Disease, basically she defines that filaments and fibers that are different, they can be white, they can be red, they can be blue, I don't know about yellow, I think they're generally fluorescent. They can be at different sizes. You know, I just want to make a point that there are no two Morgellon sufferers with exactly the same symptomatology. Their filaments and fibers themselves can be at different lengths and colors, sometimes microscopic to the point you can't see them, but you'll find them lint-like, cotton-like substances in your bedding and clothing without any reasonable explanation. You know, I haven't worn cashmere or wool, you know, but yet I still keep finding this stuff. So that is how she defines Morgellons. But how about relentless itching? Is that a symptom?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I never understood the hair parasite thing, but recently with that thunder snow stuff, I had bizarre symptoms with my fake hair, is what we call it. And it's like all this energy, which is like really strong static, got in my face and hair.
Many years I've not heard too many people have that type of experience, but people sometimes they often report the itchiness, like it feels like they're sleeping on shards of glass, like they're itching from under their skin.
Yes, and the shards of glass filling, I'm wondering, people are talking about finding this graphene in their lesions. I'm wondering, or even the crystals. I mean, the crystallization, is that why they feel like glass?
Well, I want to get to that in a few moments. How about biting? Biting sensations where it feels like it goes to the core of your bone.
It does. A stinger going in you, like a sharp, it manifests different ways, but that's the most common for me and a lot of people. But, and it's always what they call no-see-ums. I can't explain that because I used to keep a microscope over my whole body looking and you never saw these things, you know. So again, it's weird.
How about burning? Like your skin is on fire, red, burning.
Yes, I have been in the ER and told them that my arm felt like hamburger meat. And it was literally lesions on top of lesions, raw, everything. They told me to stop picking. And I've heard so many, hundreds of people tell the same story. We do not pick. We have things coming out of our skin that protrude out. So, of course, you're going to remove it, you know. Now, some people do debride lesions, which I don't consider picking.
Now, you mentioned things coming out of your skin. Okay, what kind of things can come out of their skin? Sometimes people report plastic-like barbs. They could be like half inch long. One lady actually reported a barb that came out of her skin that was 3 inches long. Took her hours to get this barb out.
Wow.
Some people report, I've seen pictures of, like one lady sent me a picture of a 16-legged spider coming out of her skin. And
I've
people
seen
have,
bizarre things just like that. I mean, every day I see many people, and over 7 years in the group, I've seen thousands upon thousands of images of just what you're describing.
Waspy things coming out of their skin, gelatinous stuff coming out of the skin of various shapes and colors, and some have little eyeballs in them. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And people are saying these are nanobots and these are that and this, but we can't prove anything. That's a problem. It's like they're sneaky. You can't prove what they are.
Right.
I used to be a parasite expert, and I put my badge down because I don't know anything about these.
When I was initially infected, it was in wintertime, and I was wearing a top coat, and I opened up my coat, and a mite flew out.
Yes, very common.
So there's a thing called miasis, where mites can breed under your skin and come out like that, miasis. Well,
fly
now,
strips are the answer for that. And fly strips in your house everywhere, they'll catch things you never even see.
Wonderful. Great, great, great idea.
Yes.
I don't think
everybody
I have that
needs to hear that,
book.
Honestly.
Okay.
They're cheap. You have nothing to lose.
I have to add that to the book. That's great. This is why we call this a think tank. We interchange, we learn from each other, and we keep getting better at beating this disease. Now, of all of these symptoms that we just mentioned, not all of them are specific to Morgellons. For instance, the relentless itching, the biting where it feels like it goes to the core of your skin, both of those can be from an organism called Columbella. Columbella can also itch you relentlessly. You can wake up at 3 a.m. with your private parts itching like you can't believe, your nose, your drive you crazy.
Your hair.
True. Biting sensations that feels like it goes to the bone, also Columbella. Now, how about skin fungus? Skin fungus, how does that feel? Sometimes you can get a sensation like you're being bitten to the bone. Now, is it Columbella? Well, there's an easy way to tell the difference. If you're dealing with Columbella and you're feeling that kind of bite to the bone, that bite doesn't move. It stays right there. Whereas with skin fungus, you can feel the biting to the bone here, and 10 minutes later, feel it over here. It moved. So that's how you can tell the difference between skin fungus and Columbella. And all these organisms, they're a challenge. But when you know what you're dealing with, we can break it down, and we can effectively deal with them. So tell us a little bit about your experience with Morgellons, how you were initially infected, how you got into this, and let us find out.
You know what? I think my story is so common with many people. I mean, I was getting these lesions, and I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, I had this little cheap handheld microscope, and I was seeing weird things. You know, I was like, I kept Googling things, and it kept coming back to Morgellons, Morgellons, Morgellons. And then I got in a group, and it was a lady who was kind of like, you know, telling us to post what she thought and telling us to put our pictures in comments. And, you know, we just, after a while, we felt like the doctors were treating us the same way. So Melody Sill and I, we made the group and went on from there, but that's another story. But
how many times were you diagnosed as having delusions of parasitosis?
You know, I have never had that on my chart. But
oh, you're lucky.
Every doctor, family doctor, infectious disease doctor, I've been to ERs, I've been to dermatologists, they tell me nothing is wrong with me.
Okay,
and I have signs of like what look like creeping eruptions from larvae migrans. And I mean, obvious signs, but they just would not acknowledge anything, like gaslighting, you know?
One thing I missed, or we missed when we were talking about symptoms, and you brought it up there, lesions. You get these lesions that develop. And are they easy to heal?
No, I have had, I discovered I may or may not have that disease that mosquitoes give you. And I think this made me susceptible to it, but they inject me with parasites and my lesions get deep. And I've got one from 2024 that still hasn't healed. I've got a post as proof when I posted it. But
right.
Yeah, these lesions, they just don't heal.
Non-healing lesions. Now, are non-healing lesions only about Morgellons? Not really. They can also happen with Columbella. You can get these non-healing lesions that seem to take forever if ever they do heal. Are they foam over a gelatinous, very hard substance that you have to really tear it off? It's so hard to remove. So.
Richard, I thought I had very bad infection because it was so deep and it had that color, you know, and it was not infection in there. The stuff that comes out of them looks like larvae, and I've got pictures that it looks like some kind of something in the helmet family.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird how these mosquitoes affect me. It's bizarre.
That's a good question. Now, how do we get Morgellons? How does it enter or get to our bodies? So, bugs, mites can bite us. Bed bugs can bite us. Mosquitoes can bite us. Bees. Did I mention spiders? All these organisms. Any insect or organism that is infected with the how does this happen? Well, you realize that these insects out there in environment, they bite other animals. So there are birds that are infected with it. There are raccoons. There are all kinds of animals and rabbits. And they might get bitten. It gets transferred to the mosquito. The mosquito bites you, and you got it. Some people find that when they fall into a rose bush, Rose Gardner's disease, they come out with Morgellons, as well as, I think it's pronounced spirotosis, but it's called Rose Gardner.
You're right, disease. Yeah.
So there are multiple ways. How about at your local salon? Can you get Morgellons at your local salon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get it walking outside and breathing, I think, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Now, do you get it from chemtrails?
I believe so. Richard, I've had it for 11 years, and it's only been in the past couple years that I opened my mind to even that theory at all. But I've seen too much evidence. I didn't want to throw some whack theories out there, but I really have seen evidence in the air and everything.
Well,
I mean,
perhaps I can shed some light. You know, personally, I don't care where it came from. I don't care whether it came from a research lab in Plum Island that comes with Lyme disease. You know, we haven't even talked about that. That's another complication.
That would not help us, would it?
I don't care whether it came from a research project or a war weapon that they were designed. I don't care. I know what to do about the disease, and that's what matters. But chemtrails.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have never ever heard someone say, "Well, you know, I was outside and I saw this plane flying over, and they were doing their trails, and I walked inside and started itching." Never heard anybody say that.
That's a good point, Richard. That's a very good point.
But, and for years, I watched all these videos about chemtrails and Morgellons, but, you know, just observation. And then I did see a video. It was produced many years ago. And the lady interviewed the past leader of HAARP, AARP. And you're familiar with that organization, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
They are the chemtrail people. They
oh, yeah.
are the people who are doing the research. And Hay was sharing what made sense to me. Whether it's true or not, but this is before AI, so at least that's one yeah. good thing. He shared that they distribute these nanobots through the chemtrails. We breathe them in, and there's some. They have research of trying to, who knows what the hell. But
I would have to have evidence before I would preach that. But I don't.
I agree with you. But this is the only thing that makes sense. He claims right. that the nanobots go haywire in some of us and make us prone to Morgellons disease, which has been around since the 1600s, but suddenly far more prevalent today than it was back then. So if we're looking at chemtrails, I would say that would be the direction to look into, but again, I don't give a crap where it came from. We know
That's
what to
true,
do about
it. It doesn't help us to know where it came from. It only helps us to discover what will cure it, you know what I mean? or treat
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, talking about cure, I mean, ever since the AMA, not the AMA, the CDC did their study in Kaiser Institute in California between 2008 and 2012, they had, I don't know, how many participants? Are you familiar with that study? It was less than 50 participants.
I am.
All self-diagnosed, as I understand. And in retrospect, and looking back, when we now know how to define Morgellons with filaments and fibers, it said that none of them actually had Morgellons disease. They based the study on people who didn't have Morgellons disease to come up with the realization that there is no Morgellons disease, and that it's all stress-related.
Okay, yeah, we're talking about the wrong guys here, though. I think I like your approach because, like, you have revised editions of your books. You keep them updated. And to me, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only research we have moving forward. You see people accepting money as donations for Morgellons, but you never see that money go to a research. And I'm looking into where that money goes, but I don't know. I really don't.
I have. Well, Dr. Marianne Middlebean, I guess, is the leading researcher at the Morgellons Association. And they've published several research studies on the Charles Folman Association. And they have, in my understanding, probably maybe 8 or 10 LLMDs, Lyme literate medical doctors, such as Dr. Savily, Dr. Cornish, Dr. Bransfield, to name 3 of them that I'm familiar with, that have been treating Morgellons very much like Lyme disease, with the belief that Lyme disease is a part of Morgellons somehow, which in my experience, I've been dealing with this since 2000. In fact, I'll just briefly give you my experience. Around 1993, I was pulling a vine from a tree in my backyard and a cloud of dust descended upon me. I went inside, I showered and thought nothing of it. 4 days later, to the very minute, both my significant other and myself started itching like hell while we were visiting my mother. We jumped the only relief we could think of would be to jump in a hot bathtub. We knew we needed to clean up something off of us. And that started my hell of about 4 years. And the end result was mites. So I'm looking, what the heck is it? So I looked, the doctors had no answers. She was a critical care nurse. She knew all the dermatologists, who were the best ones. She went, they had no answer. I went to doctors, biopsies and so forth, no answers, no diagnosis. So I was looking.
Terminator has no answer. Yeah.
I had some mites. But in retrospect, around 2006, when I wrote the first book, Soothing the Itch Within and a Diet to Control It, I realized there was a thing called calumbula. And learned. So my first experience was with mites and calumbula. And I discovered the diet. It worked for me. It worked for many other people as well. And then around 2014, along came Morgellons in my life. And the amazing thing is that the same diet worked. And I knew what it was. And it never became more than a blip in my life. But I had the experience of also dealing with Morgellons. So the benefit for me, because I mentioned questionnaire before, like, for instance, 90% of the questionnaires that I evaluate, the people are suffering from both Morgellons and calumbula at the same time, and mites. So it's hard to for them to know what the difference is in the symptomatology. Whereas, because I came from the path that I did, and of course Lyme disease was mixed in there as well in my life, and I beat it, but I'm able to know from basic questions whether or not the person is dealing with Morgellons, calumbula, mites, and even Strongyloides serotalis. I also dealt with that as well. So I've had them all and have come out the other end, and at least I have the ability to know what is what, as opposed to most people that I work with. They are all hodgepodge together. But we can
that
separate
is valuable, them. Richard, in the community. That's important to know. Very.
Very important. Very important.
Probably the most important thing that you know, actually. Yes.
I look at all the experts. I spoke with a doctor in Europe. And this was, maybe 8-9 years ago. And he believed that Morgellons was helmets. I didn't even know what the damn word meant. You know, I had to go to the dictionary. Worms!
We never
okay.
worried about worms before, since we were kids with pinworms or something, but I never had them, yeah.
So he thought Morgellons was some kind of worm. All right, well, so I put that into my mind. All right, and then, of course, along comes the Morgellons Foundation, and they're talking about Lyme disease. So those experts think it's fire beetle. In fact, there's a fellow, I forget his name, in Europe who's got many followers, big website, and he believes like there are 30 different species of spirochetes, and yes, it's related with. So everybody has their pet belief.
That's why the groups need to come together, all of them on one platform, put differences aside, and come together as one big voice and share only what we all can prove from our own theories.
Well, and everybody's pigeonholed. Everybody's pigeonholed. And then we
have... Put that to the side, though. You know what I mean? Like...
Have you seen Hans? I forget his last name. His videos, Hans...
Harold. Yeah.
Harold.
He's on to something, though.
Fungus.
I didn't think his way.
Fungi. Now, of all of them that I've looked at and studied, his makes the most sense, although
it does.
Very dry, you know, to, what did you say, you know?
You may or may not need a dictionary, depending. I'm struggling with a criminal justice degree, so sometimes I'll get a dictionary out, to be honest, but it's okay.
Yeah, I always do, you know. And I'm 79 years of age, and I might forget a word and go back and have to check it out. But anyway.
Thank you. I'm not young either.
But But his theory makes the most difference, most sense to me, that is fungal related.
Does.
And since 2006, I've been, I went to an iridologist back around 2000, and yes, I had, she found that, and she recommended wormwood and black walnut. You heard of those?
Yeah, that's actually good advice, I think, in my experiences anyway. Yeah.
My symptoms got worse.
No way.
Why did they get worse?
Maybe because it was only treating part of the parasites and maybe others navigating around.
Columbella lives outside. They destroy organic matter. That's their job. You know, if it weren't for Columbella, our world would be full of leaves up to this high. You know, they get rid of all that organic mess.
Columbella, yeah.
They eat black walnut. That's their food source.
Oh, I was thinking parasites only, but you're right. You're exactly right. Wow.
Well, you're trying to get rid of worms, which is very great. And if you only have more gallons, that'll work. But if you're dealing with Columbella, things get worse.
That goes back to what I'm saying. What you know, the most important thing you know is how to differentiate the different things and how they affect you.
And for me specifically, that's because I experienced them all at different times. Not at the
and
same.
That's a good thing. Yes, Richard. I love your knowledge. I really do.
So, the idea, my feeling, and I've repeated this many times, it's like a chessboard. Morgellons is like the king on the chessboard. The most important piece, but not the most powerful. The queen, the rook, the bishop, the pawn can take the king.
Yes.
You know? So, yes. For each of us, whether it's Rose Gardner's disease, or Lyme disease, or worms, or tapeworms, or Strongyloides sericollis, or Columbella, or mites, they all go, they're the pieces of the puzzle. Defeat them? You know, one guy wrote me, and he said, Richard, you don't know what you're talking about. I went to the doctor. He diagnosed me with pseudomonosis. That's a simple bacterial infection of the skin. It can become a problem if your immune system is down.
Kind of like ours is.
I took the medication. Morgellons left. He only demonstrated what I said. Pseudomonosis was his queen.
Richard, what if Morgellons is the king, but were the other pieces, were the pawns and everything, and we are stronger? You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
it's all of us in numbers, you know.
It helps. You know, this is why when I look at my protocol, there's a Dr. Jay Davidson here in New Jersey. And I watched one of his videos. He claims that if you have a heartbeat, you've got worms. Now, I know basically every parasitologist will say that 80 to 90% of us all have worms.
It's now, reported in autopsies about... Last I heard, it was 80%. That has probably gone up because they've discovered more species. But, yeah, I would say that's very accurate, Richard, to be honest with you, in my opinion.
Now, he says, and I go by what he says, it makes sense. Before you treat any disease, get rid of the worms.
Yes, because I believe that the parasites cause most diseases, so that makes sense.
Well, there's even a connection between cancer and parasites and worms that I read about. So, just get rid of all the worms.
That's another rabbit hole. They're endless. They're everywhere. But they're good to go down because you learn. You just can't stay in them, you know.
Now, the thing about worms is they can be intestinal. And then, you know, I've been floating along in this level of ignorance up until about 4 years ago when I looked at the the biome of the gut. And
right.
People with poor digestive systems, bloating, they are highly likely to experience leaky gut syndrome. So the worms get out into the bloodstream, into the joints, into the skin, the rashes, all that. Also, then if you look at, if you go to a public bathroom and you open a door and the person before had worms and their hands weren't clean, and you can pick up worms that way. So it doesn't even
like
have to be in the gut.
Worms, which would be the most common in the area, yes. But people need to understand when you treat parasites and do a cleanse, you can't attack half your parasites. You need a full, detailed parasite cleanse to attack
exactly.
all of them. And you need a binder or you're going to get very sick. There are too many people who do not understand that process. And if you could elaborate, I don't know. I'm not an expert, but, you know.
So, now, you can live with these worms in your body. You can live with Lyme disease in your body for years as it being dormant.
Until they do your you're dead, and then they find out, wow, those arteries were clogged and they had a heart attack. We're going to put heart attack on the death
Along comes Morgellon, and they suddenly become an issue. They become your queen,
exactly.
They become rook, they become your bishop, and they become part of the problem. Now,
yeah.
I've gone one step further. Since 2006, one of my people wrote in who was dealing with Columbella, and he wrote in, I started taking Lafeniron, and I'm much better. I've gotten well. So I looked into Lafeniron.
Wow.
Now, instead of wormwood, So Lafeniron is a pet medication that breaks down, that inhibits the production of chitin. Chitin is the, if you look at a brick wall, the mortar that holds the wall together is the chitin. So if you get rid of all that chitin, the wall falls over. So this is Candida albicans. Now, again, you can live with Candida.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. It's been a while. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So, again, you can live with Candida albicans for years, and along comes Morgellons, boom. Or if you have leaky gut, it gets into your bloodstream, into your organs, and according to one of the people we work with, Dr. Luna, who has a cancer clinic in Mexico, who supplies us, our people, with the Lafeniron, it turns into a dangerous hydra form of a fungal infection. So we go after the worms with starter dose of ivermectin and fenben. Then we go after the fungus with Lafeniron.
There you go. Okay, you're going multidimensional. You're going aggressive. And you're thorough with the parasites. That's what people don't understand. It's multidimensional, you know?
Get rid of the cofactors. Get rid of the variables. Now, they're not the only variables. There are many variables, but they're the most predominant variables, the ones we want to go after. And then there are many people who are dealing with mites. I don't know. There are books about mites out there, and I've written my own book. They live under the skin. Of course, if you talk to every epidemiologist in the world, if you talk to every expert about insects in the world, they will tell you that mites cannot live in your skin. They will tell you that Columbella can't live there either.
I have been gaslit with mites. I don't have them now, but I know when I do and I don't, but I did have them at one time. They gaslight you. They will not look at any pictures. They will not look at any solid evidence of burrows. I had connective dot on my skin, very obvious.
Well, they recognize scabies. And oftentimes, Morgellons is misdiagnosed as scabies or even MRSA. But,
And sometimes that's the case, but then it evolves, and that's no longer the case with a lot of people. It's like, and they still think they have mites or something, but all these crawling sensations, it's not from bugs most of the time recently. I don't know if it's energy in our bodies or the fibers, that graphene I mentioned. I mean, we're all confused. It's like, I think if we all put our brains together, we'd figure it out.
It's a hodgepodge. And
it is.
Because of my past experience of not dealing with them all at once, I'm in a position to have taken them apart and assimilated them so they make a lot of sense and we can figure them out together.
You know what, Richard? You're worth your weight in gold. You understand the different dimensions here of it, and you're attacking every one. And people don't understand that it's not just bacterial or fungal or parasites or these fibers. It's all of it, you know?
It's all of it. Because, like, even with mites, 90% of the people who are dealing with Morgellons are also dealing with mite infections. I did myself.
Yes.
For me, they were not a big deal. But for some people, they are paramount. And that's where there's another medication.
Mites and dust mites. I don't care who you are. Everybody has those two.
Definitely.
I don't know others, but cutaneous, I believe many.
Yes, and generally the dust mites are an allergy to the poop of the mites that is often the problem.
You want me to tell you a real quick story? I have a friend who said that she had symptoms just like mine. She thought she had something weird, kind of like I have Morgellons. She went to a research hospital. The doctor she saw looked at her and she said, "That's a dust mite allergy." She was treated and had no more symptoms then.
Yeah.
But that's just one case. I know she didn't have Morgellons, but I'm just saying somebody might be confused thinking they do somewhere. Who knows?
Of course. It's easy to jump to conclusions when there's so much misinformation out there. And
there is, and that should be addressed on another day, but that is a very important topic. It really is. I've got a couple of members who are messed up right now from some bad information that was given. I won't go into detail, but there's a lot of safety measures I keep in place, and that's the only thing I'm real strict about, but there's a lot of things that go around that, need to be addressed, like different trends, like the tobacco we were talking about. Internally, I don't think it's good or effective, like you said.
Well, it seems there's a cycle. You go through the tobacco thing, and 3 months from now, it'll be something else. And then 3 months from then, it'll be something else. They're always looking for one thing, but no one thing is going to do it. Now, like with the tobacco I shared with you earlier, gosh, I tested that many, many years ago. The idea that nicotine is an anti-parasitic. So I thought, well, I didn't want to start smoking, but I got the nicotine patches. So I did the nicotine patches day after day after day after day for a month on end. No big difference. And I did learn one thing. When I stopped putting on the nicotine patches, I didn't have any withdrawal symptoms. So, in my opinion, you don't get addicted to nicotine. There's something else in those cigarettes that you get addicted to, but it's not the nicotine.
That's my concern is I hear many members talk about they started vaping or smoking cigarettes or doing nicotine patches, and they never used tobacco. But I've seen two videos where they did put tobacco on their face, and those white plug larva-looking things did come out, and I was impressed myself. But like you said, it'd be the next thing or something. But I'm just saying, using it is probably best, topically.
Yeah, I said earlier, you can do that and get all the stuff out, but unless you know how to stop it breeding, it's going to be 20 years and you're going to keep doing it and getting stuff out. It's never going to end. Never going to end. So, great, they're all coming out.
Acid with it, chew or something, but... I mean, I am going to try to get the white plugs out of my face because I saw them, but I'm not. Is it going to be a cure for me? No. Nothing is,
I did a little research. I have a fairly extensive mailing list, and this is about 20 years ago, and I wanted to see if there was a connection between people having parasites and whether or not they smoked. So I sent out an email and asked them, and I asked them, are you a smoker or are you not a smoker? And the response started coming in, and they were not a smoker, they were not a smoker. And I thought, this is interesting. Only the smokers get parasites. So about 2.5 weeks later, then the smokers started sending in their answers. They got parasites. All I learned was people who smoke are what's the word I'm looking at? They put things off.
Oh, procrastination.
Procrastinators. That's all I
believe that. It's the same thing with THC. I think it kind of is like a downing thing, and it makes you procrastinate. Yeah, I think so.
That must be. Yeah. So there's no connection between whether you smoke and have parasites or whether you don't smoke and have parasites.
No, I told you, I've been trying to quit for years, Richard, and if nicotine helped, I would have never gotten more gallons.
But it would have taken you 3 weeks to answer my question.
What was it?
All right, do you smoke or not smoke?
I smoke, and I've been trying to quit. That's why I don't want people picking up vapes, cigarettes, nicotine patches. They've never been proven effective in. You do not want that addiction. It's compared to being addicted to heroin. I've never been on heroin, but I believe it.
Why do
people quit heroin, but they can't quit smoking?
Being a slave. Absolutely. So all these rabbit holes are on Facebook. You know, like even somebody mentioned turpentine, consuming turpentine.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
What I keep out of the group for that reason. Yeah. And once they leave me and Melody's group, like, we can't help what happens, but stuff like that, like, if I see it on a post, it's like, no, that's bad. I mean,
it must be a real challenge for you to go through all those posts and to decide whether or not it's, I understand in your position, you don't want to be promoting rabbit holes because everybody says, well, I did this and it worked. And of course, no one thing works.
I highly recommend to put a microscope down because I'm severely underweight because of wine. And I'm telling you, it's so unhealthy. Unless you've got a strong mind and you're one of those on the front lines that are really digging on research, I would really moderate. Seriously, that is a big warning from me to everybody.
Yeah, I hate to have to be the moderator and... That would drive me nuts. My hat goes off to you.
Sure. They're interesting. Some of them are interesting. Some are. They're all very nice, though. I mean, they really are.
Yeah. Everybody's looking for help, and I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would encourage anybody to get on a platform where they feel like people can relate, and there's a lot of people where you get alternatives. You might like somebody's advice, but maybe somebody relates to your case more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got options. You're a great option in the group. You've got your book. You know, you've got your diet. They've got that resource.
I do have to plug this book.
You need to do that today because you've been putting it in comments. You need to put a pretty post up. Take a picture of that cover. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, here it is.
Is it 2023 revised?
Oh, God, it's the 13th revision. In fact, this is like the third revision of the 13th revision. I keep learning
updated, and they need that.
Please, if anybody wants to learn anything about Morgellons, go to the library. And the best library, unfortunately, right now is Amazon. I'm not a big fan of Bezos, but...
Book right there. I mean, they've got your free audio book. That's a great start. They can go with other books that can add to what you knew. I mean...
Don't take my word for it. Just look at all the reviews. You know,
I saw your reviews. That's why I believe... Well, also, I saw your book, too. But, yeah, you've got great reviews. And
over 264 and 5-star reviews. There's no other book. I mean, some books have 4 reviews, 4 stars.
Yeah.
You know? It
it's
tells
because
you that.
You put the research behind it and you've got personal, you know, there's nobody with a medical degree that could take the experience of just my 11 years of having this. I couldn't imagine your decades. Because no doctor will understand us, that they're not going to see the things we see as being real. They're going to find an alternate explanation.
Well, have you ever seen or heard somebody claim that filaments move, that the filaments actually move?
I've seen the ones that they're talking about moving, and I've tested that without static or air movement around. I've put it in a controlled setting.
Well,
and
well,
some of them do appear to move. It's bizarre.
There's another Facebook group led by a guy, and I won't mention his name, but
yes.
He basically says, if you think filaments move, you're crazy.
I know, and I tried to reach out so we could all, like, come together, and that's one that I just,
you can't tell members
how to think and how to feel and what they went through, because everybody's different, you know?
That's
not
healthy. I never invalidate anybody. You know, for years, people would write to me and say, you know, these organisms actually get into my food. What do you mean? Well, when I open up the canned food, they're in there. And I'm thinking, is this person crazy? But I would never
say. They know. They've seen these fibers. They know what they look like. It's bizarre. It's like, once you know what they look like, I don't know most people's experience, but a lot of people, it's like they just see them and know. It's like my fake hair that I've got. It's like, I can see my head from a distance, and I can see where the fake hairs are. It's bizarre.
So I would never invalidate anybody, and after I got about 4 or 5 people telling me this, then I started looking into it, and it turns out there are organisms that, whether it's a secretion of an enzyme or whatever it is, that actually can eat through cans and into wood and into ceramics. It's a real organism.
Send me info on that. I want to dig into that. Send me a link.
And actually, there's a website that says Morgellons is a concrete-eating organism, eating concrete.
I have seen trails in my basement. I've got a concrete floor, and I had my roommate get down and look with a handheld microscope and saw the trails in my concrete. I don't even bring that up because people will think I'm crazy, even in Morgellons.
Right, but after you hear a few of these, I never invalidate anybody's experience.
Oh, I know you don't. You had it. I know you don't.
Now, Sharon, you wanted to share something? You had your finger up earlier. We got a minute and 17 seconds.
I actually did. I wanted to find out, Carrie, what other platforms do you use, or is it solely Facebook? Do you have any other way that people are able to reach out to you? And how do you plan on collaborating with Richard to see if we can have a bigger audience so that we can help more people with their lives?
I want to merge, with the Morgellon Uncensored name, which is, you know, my intellectual property, I guess. But it's also Melody Seals, because she was with me when I just pushed the button to make it, but we left this group together. Where we were being told what we could put, we were basically being treated the same way the doctors were treating us. You were like, no, I think that's why everybody kind of gravitated toward that group, because you weren't treated the same. But I want us to merge and create a bigger voice for advocacy.
That would be fantastic. Now, unfortunately, we're down to 10 seconds, so we have to wrap it up. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Carrie Ann, and I hope co-host Robin, she wanted to mention something. We'll do that in the next segment. Have a great day. This concludes this portion of the program.